She has prepared her food, she has mixed her wine. She has also set her table, and she has sent out her maidens. She calls from the tops of the heights of the city. Whoever is naive, let him turn and hear. To him who lacks understanding, she says, come eat of my food and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake your folly and live, and proceed in the way of understanding. He who corrects a scoffer gets dishonor for himself, and he who reproves a wicked man gets insults for himself. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase his learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself, and if you scoff, you alone will bear it. The woman of folly is boisterous. She is naive and knows nothing. She sits at the doorway of her house, on a seat by the high places of the city, calling to those who pass by, who are making their path straight. Whoever is naive, let him turn and hear, and to him who lacks understanding, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. Amen. The title here in Proverbs 9 is The Invitation of Wisdom. So wisdom cries out, and wisdom invites people to come. Now, there's some speculation that what's being talked about here is actually Jesus. Jesus is the embodiment of wisdom. So he has built this house in the same way, you know, he says that I prepare a place for you at my Father's house. Sown out the seven pillars. This could mean leaders. It's a bit unsure, but the word pillar has been used in the New Testament to describe religious leaders, or leaders of the church. She has prepared her food. She has mixed her wine. It could be in relation to the Lord's Supper, the communion table that he's laid out. He's also set her table. He has sent out her maidens. She calls. These are the apostles that are sent out. Calls from the tops of the heights of the city. Whoever is naive, let him turn in here. In other words, this is open for everybody, right? The gospel is open for everybody. Wisdom is available to everybody. Everyone that will come and eat at the table. This is very similar to what James says in chapter 1. It says, do you lack wisdom? And he just simply says, ask, right? Ask in faith. Don't be double-minded. And basically, James says, and then wisdom will come to you in that way. And so in the same way, whoever is naive, let him turn in here. To him who lacks understanding, she says, come, eat of my food and drink of the wine I have mixed. Again, very similar to Jesus' words through the New Testament. Forsake folly and live and proceed in the way of understanding. All right? Forsake folly, you know, let go of all of those things that are not good for you. Folly, especially in this context here, in this chapter, is really dealing with the issue of sin. And so sin is folly or foolishness in that way. And so he's making a connection. And so forsake folly, move aside from that, and then you're going to live. It's a very simple, simple understanding. And then proceed in the way of understanding. So you have wisdom, who's building this beautiful house, this beautiful structure. Wisdom is provided for everybody. It's made available to everyone. Wisdom invites you to the table. Wisdom invites you to gain knowledge and understanding. Now, the contrast we'll hit now is the other side, which is folly. But in between that, that's verse 13, in between that, here's some wisdom that's laid out. He who corrects a scoffer gets dishonor for himself, and he who reproves a wicked man gets insults for himself. In other words, this is very similar to the idea of don't throw pearls to swine. And I mean, the simple reality, you know, as a pastor, the most difficult people to speak to, right, are not the uninitiated. In other words, they're not the new believers or the young believers or the non-believers. It's actually old believers that think they have everything figured out, right? It's someone who's just not teachable.
This
is what I think, and this is what I believe, and just not in any place to reason at all. That it's just stuck in their own ways. It doesn't matter what you say, it's not going to change my mind or change my thinking. And a person that's not teachable, and that's who the writer of Proverbs, particularly here Solomon, is talking about. It's the person that thinks they know everything. It's really hard. You know, in sports, we call that uncoachable, right? This person is just uncoachable. In the church, we call it unteachable. It's very similar, right? I know more than you, and so, I got this figured out, so I'm good. You know, I don't need, and they keep going down that road of destruction. Right? At the heart of it, we're talking about pride. And he says, do not reprove a scoffer, he will hate you. I mean, think about this for a moment, okay? How many times have you heard of people in the church, maybe this is yourself, that someone came to you in love and tried to speak truth and life into your life, and you were offended, and you are hurt, right, about what someone said. I mean, it's pretty amazing. Actually, my wife and I, on the way here, we're talking about such a situation, right? A house leader is just speaking life to somebody, and then the person, house leader said was very basic, you know, and the person was hurt and offended by what was spoken. That's precisely what's talking about here. Don't reprove a scoffer, and he will hate you. It's a simple reality. On the flip side, reprove a wise man, and he will love you, right? Because the wise man understands that what you're speaking is good. The reprove is rebuke, right? It could even mean speak harshly. I mean, that's an extreme definition, but could even mean that, to speak harshly to someone, to rebuke them in that way. And he says, and if you do that, it's not a kind of person, it's a temperament of the heart. And so in this way, the person you reprove, man, this person is going to love you, because they know that as a result, they're going to grow and they're going to walk in wisdom, right? They're going to walk in the fullness of God. And so think about that. You know, this is the litmus test, okay? How did you personally respond the last five times someone rebuked you? Just pause for a moment, huh? How did you respond the last five times someone rebuked you? Now, the rebuke, it could have been from a leader. It could have been from your spouse. It could have been from your kids. Right, some type of word of correction. How did you respond? And did you respond differently depending on who they were? Right, if it was your kids, you'd be like, be quiet. Right, if it was your wife, you know, or your husband, you know, were you defensive? If it was your leader, you know, how did you respond? And you can get an idea of where you stand. You're either a scoffer or you're a wise man. It doesn't mean that maybe the rebuke was wrong. Maybe it was off. Maybe the person kind of got it wrong in that way. But still, regardless, how did you respond to that? Right? What was the temperament of your heart in that way? And it's such a beautiful verse. Do not reprove a scoffer, he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. It's so different. Right, such a different temperament of the heart that's so important. Right, give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. That's what it's about. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase his learning. Why? Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This is the fear of the Lord is talking about a heart temperament, right? It's the quality and condition of your heart. And understanding of the or knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. This is what makes us wise. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years of your life will be added to you. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself, and if you scoff, you alone will bear it. This is some amazing truth. Right? Wisdom, the Lord, wants to add life. He says, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. And so this is this idea, and the reality is, if you receive wisdom or you forsake wisdom, the only person that you hurt is yourself at the end of the day. The only person that's a drag on that is yourself. You're only harming yourself. And then, 13, we get to the contrast of what we started in the beginning. Wisdom builds a house. Now here's the woman of folly. The woman of folly is boisterous, is loud, is fun, seems exciting in this way. She is naive and knows nothing. Reminds you of Paul in Romans chapter 1. Professing to be wise, they became fools. And it's a simple idea. And he says here, she sits on the doorway of her house, on a seat by the high places of the city, calling to those who pass by who are making their path straight. Whoever is naive, let him turn and hear. And to him who lacks understanding, she says, this is 17, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. In other words, sin has some sweetness to it. Sin itself is alluring. Sin, in of itself, is very appealing. This is why when Adam and Eve were in the garden, the fruit, I don't know what fruit it is, but it says, they said, this fruit looks so good. It says, the word that Eve says is, this is pleasing to my eyes, right? Like when I look at this thing, it does something to me. There's something about, and that's the folly of sin. That's what sin has the power to do. Otherwise, people wouldn't do it. You know what I mean? If it wasn't so attractive, if it didn't make them feel temporarily good or exhilarating in some ways, they wouldn't do it, but that's what it's laid out here. Stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant, but here's the kicker. But he does not know that the dead are there, right? For the wages of sin is death. We don't realize the other side of that sin equals death. Sin equals destruction to you and to your family. Right? And, you know, I mean, think about it, as a married couple, you sin in that way, man, you destroy your family. That's death that comes, right? That our guests are in the depths of Sheol. In other words, all of these people that the woman of folly has invited, remember, they were there on that path, and notice it says here, the woman sits at the doorway of her house, on a seat by the high places of the city. So there's some prominence that's there. And this woman of folly, leads them astray, those who want to go straight, causes their life to be crooked. And then they get invited into her house, and guess what happens? Death happens. She entices all this, and then death is the result. Contrasting with the first, right, with the wisdom, the woman of wisdom in the beginning of the chapter, where life happens. And then that's kind of like the, not the dilemma, but the posture that you see here in this place. Huh? So let's close our eyes. Let's think about this. Let's go back to this passage. Verse 8, do not reprove a scoffer, and he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. And let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. How are you handling the rebukes in your life? Does it bring you life? Or do you hate them for it? It's such a contrast, isn't it? Right? No one is perfect. We all need help. We all need people to lead us and guide us. Take in their instruction. Right? Do not reprove a scoffer, he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, he will love you. Let's be the wise man that loves instruction. Let's pray. Let's pray for a heart of wisdom that receives instruction. Let's pray for a receptive heart that receives rebuke, that knows and loves it actually, instead of following the woman of folly that leads to death. One path leads to life, one path leads to death. Let's pray. Let's pray for the heart posture. Why don't we pull up a chair? Let's make a circle. Let's gather together to pray.